thousands of them, all of them nearly identical, most of them silent and still, some occasionally vibrating with movement, like a wild field of poppies. Except it's nothing like that, because the little red dots are not flowers, but people. People who journeyed many miles to get here. People who came here to sleep. Thousands of them now rest atop unfamiliar beds, clothed in the same crisp red pajamas. Some of them will sleep for just 1 month. Others will sleep for longer. Some of them closed their eyes and felt ready, even eager. Others fell asleep, still afraid. Some of them feel like patients here. Others feel more like experiments. And some will not feel this until they awaken, the ones who wake up with the side effect. Many of them hope their loved ones will forgive them for choosing this strange path. And yet, nearly all of them felt they had no choice at all. Before they sleep, they think of their mothers and fathers and siblings. They think of their friends and lovers and spouses. They think of the big things, the milestones missed, the last time their hands touched, the words both said and unsaid. They think of the small things, the one crooked tooth, the scent of the pillow in the morning, the laugh in the middle of a joke. They remember the people they've lost. Their heartbreaks are burned into their bodies that lie on the beds. The bodies they have all made the choice to shut down, if only for a while. Needles pinch at the creases in their arms, tethering them to the tubes that send them to sleep and then keep them alive as they heal. Someday, they will all wake up. For now, though, they sleep alone, in this sequestered space in the desert. But they are not alone. They carry the pain that comes for us all, the weight ultimately thrust upon everyone. Here, inside the poppy fields, there is rarely an empty bed. In those final fleeting moments before the sleep sets in, each of them wonders what comes next. This sleep will not make things right, on that they can all agree. It will not give sense to the senseless. It will not fill the yawning hole. But maybe, just maybe, it will help. Because they have each been told over and over that the only way out of a hardship is through. But nobody ever told them that they had to stay awake. 1. Ava woke up with her face imprinted on the paper, slumped across her wooden desk, the piece of charcoal still in her grip, as PJ tugged at the hem of her dress. She peeled her cheek off the sketch pad and uncurled her body, wincing slightly, nearly knocking over the cup of cold, cloudy tea she'd intended to drink last night. She could already see the sunshine glowing behind her shutters. Had she slept straight through her alarm? Briefly panicked, Ava twisted her watch around to check the time, the charcoal stains on her fingertips smudging across her wrist as if she'd melted down all her freckles and then blended them back together. Thankfully, she wasn't late. She leaned over to give PJ a grateful pat, caressing the dog's head lightly. And that's when the alarm on her cell phone sounded. Somehow, PJ always managed to beat the alarm by 1 minute. Ava wasn't surprised that she'd fallen asleep while working. She hadn't slept very well the prior night. Or the night before that. Or any night, really, since she booked her flight. Since she decided to find her sister. Ava slid her glasses back up her nose, then glanced at herself in the mirror. A dark sheen coated the side of her face that had spent the night pressed against her drawing. Her cardigan had wrinkled while hunched in the chair, but it still looked fine enough to wear to the airport, Ava thought. The patch she'd sewn onto the left arm was holding up well, covering the hole her elbow had poked through the sleeve and adding a bright burst of purple to the otherwise plain white sweater. Ava never bothered trying to match fabrics, as she wasn't nearly skilled enough to make her mending look seamless. Granny May had taught her the essential steps, but failed to